This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Here. If we are here, you have to be here. And you talk to the coaches and they say, you know, for all the things people knock that guy for, the one thing no one ever talks about is how he studies the game. And he does. Whether people want to believe that or not, it's factual. Like every coach that's ever been around him has said the guy just watches film and he has a coach's understanding of the game. Now, at times, does he get away from that because he's got special athleticism that most human beings don't possess? Of course. Of course. But it doesn't mean he doesn't understand the game. And he does. And I've really liked seeing that. I talked to Coach about that last night in the pregame show. I talked with Elliot about it. He agreed. Those are the things that will, I think, continue to push him forward. Are we ever going to get away from a guy who gets frustrated that he doesn't get a foul call or cares what his dad thinks sidelines or looks at him because they have that bond? Probably not. And you know how much I care? Very little. Very little. I want him to just be who he is. If he's happy playing basketball and being in his own skin that way, brother, do what you got to do. Like, I'm fine as long as it's, you know, in his mind of the greater good. And to me, that shows it is in the mind of the greater good. I get the frustration. I get to all the questions as to why. All I know is that guy's gone 32, 31, 29, and what last night? 28?
Yeah, that's what it's
like. And looked like the guy, and he's made multiple threes the last two ball games. He was 3 for 9, which isn't great, but it was better than what he had been doing. And he made 41 free throws in a row. I'll take the hit for jinxing that when he broke the record because I said it. And then he missed, of course. And then he made 10 straight the previous game. Last night he missed the first one. He misses a couple. He's shooting 84%. It's fantastic. If he can do that and he's getting to the line more, good. I'm happy for it. I'm really happy for him.
Eric, we appreciate it, buddy.
I got to go spend some money on baseball cards.
Let's do that. All right. That is Eric Later. Hasseltine, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. When we come back, we get into the list. Saw an interesting coaching rumor. I want to get into it with Cobb. We got coaching carousel. This one I actually think could be fun for the AAC. Talk about that and more. Jason Smith also coming up during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. March is here, and that means that Zen Sports, Tennessee's newest sports book, has launched a new VIP Players Club sweepstakes. The Big Bucket Club sweepstakes. One grand prize winner earns a $10,000 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game or $5,000 cash. Also, 20 small prize winners will earn a $100 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game or $50 cash. You can earn entries on every bet placed in March, and every dollar bet in March also earn 10 times the entries on parlay wagers. Plus, if you sign up now and make your first bet with code JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you'll earn 500 bonus entries into the Big Bucket sweepstakes. College baseball has also been added to Zen Sports for wagering. Plus, they're also offering multi-sport parlay profit boost, and you'll get a 15% boost on up to 10 qualifying parlay wagers. See full terms on the Zen Sports app. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee. Cobb with me here. Jason Smith going to join us at the bottom part of the hour. Before we do that, let's get into the list. Coaching carousel. All right, Cobb. Quick shout outs to Minnesota overnight, just firing their coach. That happened.
Yeah, 1:42 a.m.
Yeah,
1:42 a.m. Like,
you
what?
Up? Is that going to be the new news dump? Like, hey, we can't do Fridays anymore. Everybody knows what we're doing, but like, we'll just do it in the middle of the night, and hopefully, when games start tomorrow, everybody will just get buried in games.
Also, let's just like pump the brakes a little bit. You lost a competitive game in the Big Ten tournament. Like, take 24 hours, right? Like, I understand you got to get a jump on the portal and all that, but like, come on. That was cold-blooded.
All right. What were his numbers? Ben Johnson, of course, fired from Minnesota.
Well, he went 15-17 this year. He's one of those guys who I thought was going to get another year because I thought they were going to go the, well, we'll arm him with more NIL, we'll invest in the program and give him what he needs to turn it around. Like, that's the camp a lot of people thought he was going to end up in, and not so much. So, like, what do you even do right now if you're Minnesota? You know, because the guy you hired before Ben Johnson, Richard Pitino, has now surfaced as a high major candidate again, right? So, like, if you're not going to put any money in NIL, and then it turns out, oh, yeah, Richard Pitino is actually a really good coach, he just couldn't win at your program, like, who wants to take that job?
I mean, my first thought is, does it matter? Because, like, if you're not going to spend, I don't know how you can win. And then I guess the other thing, though, is, okay, well, if you're not, you're probably better off going and getting a mid-major guy. Or, I don't know, does Drake make people start to think about, you know, with Ben McCollum going D2, like, knowing guys that can coach and maybe do it without the supreme talent? But my fear is, man, the Big Ten is one of those leagues. I don't know if you can just coach your way into even being like a bubble team.
It's like the Purdue football job. You just take the job.
It's a paycheck
for
job.
The salary and for the inevitable buyout that you'll receive upon your firing. You know, hey, there's worse things.
Yeah, so this was the other rumor that Giannotto sent me, and I thought this would be amazing. So the Twitter account coaching changes, and again, this is just a rumor. At 1:10, so right before we went to air, Rick Stansberry's name suddenly emerging strongly at South Florida. Cobb, sign me up.
Let's go.
Penny AAC versus rivalry. Rick.
I love it. I mean, I need this to happen. Also, why does Rick Stansberry want to coach at South Florida at age 65? I don't know.
Makes I mean,
no sense, but I want it. I need it to happen.
I mean, it's still a seven-figure job, right?
But come on, it's South Florida. Like, you just did 7 years at Western Kentucky. Like you got to have the itch bad. Like, you got to have like a sickness in your blood at age 65 to be like, yeah. Or Jeffrey, you have a vendetta. You have an axe to grind. You want to go and take down the Memphis Tigers, who kick you to the curb as part of their retooling. You built their roster. You built the team that's going to go to the NCAA tournament that won the league. And now you got to go and show that you were actually the mastermind behind all that. Here's the kicker. I'm willing to guess, Jeffrey, that South Florida's men's basketball NIL budget is maybe roughly in the ballpark of about 10% of what Memphis's is. So if he's under the illusion that he's going to be able to go down there and draw a Tyrese Hunter, a Colby Rogers, I mean, not even to mention a P.J. Haggerty or a Dane Danger, like, he's sorely mistaken, unless there's a massive buy-in from the boosters. And I'm going to be honest, if I'm a South Florida men's basketball booster, if those even exist, like, is Rick Stansberry getting me fired up? Like, is that the name that's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to open my checkbook for you?
Well, so there's a couple things there. Also, could also be, I mean, the other reason we've been seeing coaches do, like, I think Bill Belichick's the coach at North Carolina because he wants Steven to be a head coach. So, like, I don't know, do you get your sons involved? The other thought I had, I'm under the impression Rick comes with his own NIL. Like, I think he's pretty good at capital raising. I think it's a fair point. Like, has anyone been fired from a CUSA job, gone and been an assistant and gotten a better job? Like, that, But I always just say with Stansberry, it's like the conventional book is just out the window. Like, it's just, I can believe just about anything. And then really kind of the other thing, though, is what I find interesting about South Florida is they're trying to hit everybody up so that they can build, they're trying to build a football stadium. So, but I think this is kind of the other question that I have. I'm wondering if South Florida is a job that's getting used. You know, once upon a time when Cal leaves, the Memphis job got like seven different coaches nationwide raises. Like, I am wondering if South Florida, because I had heard Dan Hurley. I'm sorry, Bobby Hurley, that was going to be the old safety net out of Arizona State. But then Arizona State's at least publicly, like, they're not denying a report that says he's going to be back. But my first instinct when I heard that was, that feels like what you say publicly while you hope your guy gets another job.
I wish these ADs would get more creative. Like, with all due respect to Rick Stansberry, who's had a nice career, he's 65 years old. Like, go out and hire somebody from NAIA, Division III, Division II, for crying out loud. I mean, look, Ben McCollum gets 1 year at Drake. Now he's firmly in the mix for potentially the Indiana job, right? Because it turns out, if you can win at one level, you can win at another level as well. We see it. Look at Indiana. Like, I think the reason why they might be so willing to go for a Ben McCollum, who coaches in the Missouri Valley, who was recently in Division II, is because Kurt Cignetti's been so successful. He comes up from the lower levels on the football side, comes in from James Madison. So, like, maybe it sort of makes them realize, like, hey, you know what? We don't have to hire a quote name. We don't have to hire somebody whose name our fans are going to recognize. We just have to hire a winner. That's got to be the biggest thing right now as an AD. Go and hire a winner, because in the revenue sharing era, in the NIL era, where a lot of the playing field's more or less going to be equal from a talent standpoint, you actually need tacticians and schematic gurus and teachers of the game. It's not about like, oh man, this guy wears cool shoes and knows the sneaker agents anymore. It's like, can you actually coach? And your best bet to find guys who can actually coach are coaches who have been successful at other levels.
Well, I think it kind of, couple of things. I think it kind of depends on the league. So, like, for instance, a guy that's also a hot name right now, Brad Brunell, who's at Clemson. But Brad was perpetually Brad was the ACC version of Andy Kennedy. It felt like every year he was on the bubble, and every year was like, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? Well, I think what kind of happened is the ACC got worse, and Brad Brunell, being a good coach, kind of allowed him to have this nice run. I'm with you on the go get the guy that can coach, but I also need to know, if it's the Big Ten or the SEC, where it's honestly a players' league, like, I think you can only do so much coaching. Now, if you're going to arm that guy with NIL money, I'm with you. Like, I think that's kind of the appeal of Mark Pope. It's like, all right, yes, this year they're BYUK, but this is the idea, is like, this will be his worst roster. We're going to have the Kentucky machine behind him, and we've got the guy that can coach. And I have a buddy in coaching that believes, hey, the mid-major thing works because they're more used to having their roster picked apart than a lot of the power guys. But I think kind of the, when you ask, like, why everyone getting the name, like in the end, the name is what motivates people to give. And right now, the money is what is, I think, the primary roster driver.
Yeah, but wins will do that too. You might have to take a temporary hit until the belief and the buy-in is there. Like, maybe you go out and hire an okay, were Indiana fans lining up to donate to the football NIL fund when they hired Kurt Cignetti? I doubt it, but I bet they are now because the guy can win. So, like, have a little bit of faith in your ability as an AD to ID talent.
Yeah, but it kind of has to be. Realm. I guess, though, I would say you have to have the situation that Indiana had, which is Cignetti's been on the record as this, is like, I took a look at the schedule when they first got in contact with me, and I was like, I can put a team that wins there. Contrast that with, because I do agree. It seems to me at a big job, there's two formulas right now. It's either hire the biggest name that you can and get people motivated, or you hire the good coach, set expectations low, win, have an unexpected good year, and then that gets everybody fired up. But contrast that with like Mississippi State, which is, I think they took more of the approach with Levy of, we think he's a good coach, but State's schedule was always going to be what it was. And so now, you know, it's not like he was able to jumpstart anything by winning. And so I think that's what makes it so difficult.
Well, you kind of got to be able to do both. You got to be able to raise funds, and then you got to realize, even after I raise the funds, I'm probably only raising them to a point to where I can be competitive.
Yeah.
Like the days of John Calipari just having an outsized, ridiculous edge on the entire market in terms of acquiring talent are over, and they've been over for quite a while. And what's happened? Well, it's been exposed that when he doesn't have supremely superior talent, he's not a supremely better coach when the talent field is relatively equal.
Yeah, I wonder though. I wonder if it's a job thing, because I want to contrast him with like Bill Self, who most people agree is a good coach. Like Bill Self out of timeouts, good coach, like always runs good plays. But like I'm wondering, is Kansas kind of like Auburn football or Bama football, where it's still a great job, or it's still a very, very good job? Is it still like a great job? I don't know the answer to that anymore. Or is it
jobs?
Is it possible?
I mean, the jobs are what you make them. I don't know that that the blue bloods like stand far and away like head and shoulders above the other jobs like they used to. I mean, Kentucky had to hire Mark Pope. Their fans were not happy. I mean, they're happy now, but they weren't happy. I got to talk quiet because there's a
you're in Catsville.
I am. It's why you see Scott Drew stay at Baylor. It's why you see coaches all over the country stay where they're at. The one I'm real curious about this cycle that's been super quiet, Jeffrey, Villanova.
Yeah.
Like, they must have an ace up their sleeve, because that one has been so, so quiet. Kyle Neptune has not technically been fired yet, right? So, like, that's part of it. They're going to be respectful of his potential to maybe make a run at the Big East tournament or whatever. But, like, that is a massive, massive job that is about to come open, and one that could tip the dominoes if they hire a sitting high-major head coach.
Or, I mean, I also wonder, it's so funny to me, like, because Norton Hurd, the team director, head coach of Team Thad, he's my co-host on Mondays, he and I just pull our hair out at when jobs come open and no one just goes after Bruce Pearl, and it's like, well, he's got baggage. What? He lied about a cookout 10 years ago? 15? It's probably more than that. Aaron Kraft was in college basketball for 20 years. It was probably 15 years ago, if not more. I mean, Bruce has been at Auburn since what? Well, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
It's so funny to me, though, that Pearl, quote unquote, has baggage, and now it's like everybody's like, go get Will Wade. Go get Will Wade. Go get Will Wade. It's like, okay. Like, I agree. Like, go get Will Wade. But it's like, why does Bruce Pearl have baggage? And first off, why do we even care? Everything's legal. Or maybe it's not even fair to say everything's legal. Nothing's illegal.
Yeah, what Will Wade did, which was to provide a strong offer.
No. Seriously, wait. A strong-ass offer. It wasn't just the strong-ass offer. It was the fact that like he was like, he doubled back. He's like, no, seriously, it's a strong-ass offer.
I mean, that's the name of the game now, right? Like, we're out there, like, everybody, like, that's exactly what you have to do, and it always was, and now it's just legal. So, he's going back to the NCAA tournament, by the way.
Well, like, to your point about, like, a good coach.
Won the Southland.
They're phenomenal kids, and I can't say enough of what they've done for me this year. But, like, why has nobody hired the guy at Montana?
Travis DeCuire?
Yeah. All the guy does is win.
That's actually a great point, man. He's been really good for a long time there. I think he's just so stuck in oblivion.
Yeah.
Like, nobody even, like, knows who he is.
Because, I mean, we've seen, like, the mid-major, like, it's, I think Louisville's, like you said, was Pat Kelsey their first hire? No. It felt like fifth or sixth. But, guy knows how to run a program, gets it right back on track. Byington, a guy that you've done features on at Vanderbilt, like, gotten it back on track. Like, we have seen... For a while, it always felt like when you went and hired the hot mid-major, like, I always just think of, like, the poster child's John Pelfrey. Like, John Pelfrey, when he was at South Al, was, like, the guy, the hot name. Like, I felt like he was on every SEC hot board. Then he finally gets the Arkansas job, and it's like, all right, couldn't really maybe get the players. Like, it didn't work. Now it feels like we're kind of doubling back. It's like, all right, if a guy can run a mid-major program, like, maybe we arm him with SEC money and see what he can do.
Because you used to have like all the connections with the grassroots circuit. You used to have the relationship with the shoe company. You used to have like this like clout and swagger about you as a coach to be able to pull talent. Like, you know, it's like, you know, you were in a fraternity at college, right? Like, there's just certain guys in the fraternity who pull. You know what I'm saying?
Gus.
I don't know if
he was 6'9" and handsome. It wasn't fair.
Everybody has as a Gus. Yeah. Like, the Gus's of college basketball succeeded.
Menace.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't have to be Gus anymore, though. Yeah. You just have to be able to execute. You just have to be the guy who remembers to bring home flowers on Valentine's Day. You just have to be the guy who, pays for dinner, right? Like, the basic things of executing as a coach are what it takes to be successful now, instead of, like, all the flash and the relationships and connections. Like, you know, that stuff is not as essential to the job anymore. And so if John Pelfrey, if you were to transplant him into this era and give him another shot at Arkansas in the year 2025, he could do just as good of a job or better than John Calipari is doing right now, because the game is different.
Well, it's interesting. Has maybe the job gone from, like, ultimate fundraiser or like CEO, like you said, it's like the connections guy, and now it feels like you need the ultimate manager, because you got to have somebody that like manages the NIL, manages the roster. Like, it feels like the role has changed,
without a doubt. Yeah, that's why I'm curious to see how many more of these programs hire a GM. Well, I'm curious to see if Memphis does. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think Penny Hardaway is probably a better GM than he is a coach. But that role in the roster management, and then the fund management, the disbursement of NIL resources, the relationship that's probably most important right now, Jeffrey, relationship with your AD, right? Can you go into that guy's office and say, hey, man, I know football's important around here, but well, what do you say we get $5 or $6 million to spend on our roster? Because if you can get to that level, you got a shot.
Well, but then there's also, like, I'm very curious about this, because you and I have talked about it. Do you know, how is Tennessee doing on season tickets? Because, right, they've raised 10, right, they're doing a 10% price increase, and they've even acknowledged, like, it's going to the players.
Right, yeah, no, they're doing well.
So, and I guess it helps that Tennessee made the playoff. Like, that definitely helps. But, like, now, man, like, I saw Arkansas is going to raise, I think they announced they're raising their basketball ticket prices for the same reason. And there's a lot of people that are like, I'm not buying tickets. But to your point, winning is part of it. And it's like, Arkansas has been fine this year. Like, they're going to be like a 10 or 11. Like, they're probably getting
honestly,
in.
Honestly, I got to hand it to you, man, because back in January, I was like, no, Arkansas's cooked.
No,
like,
I knew it. I had nothing to do with the stock. It's not like I could unload it. It had no value. Like, I just had to hang on to the stock. Like, it's the same reason I still have Josh Rosen's stock, if you want some of that. I can get you that. But I also knew, like, the way their schedule worked, like, they had a chance to kind of to get rolling. But I mean, I think that's kind of what I find fascinating is there going to be, because right now you're asking the fans to fund it and to show up, buy tickets, is there just going to be a point where everyone's like, you know, man, we're going to the beach this year, or you know what, we've wanted to go to Europe, and we're going to spend 10, 15 grand, we're going to Europe this year, and like, I just wonder how long this, like, system can last.
Yeah, the political infighting is going to get pretty nasty, too. Over, you know, you think about some of the circumstances with Calipari at Kentucky and the frosty relationship between football and basketball. Those dynamics are about to accelerate and heat up all across the country.
Well,
already are.
Like, let's use the job that you first brought up, Indiana. I wonder if it's possible that why we've been, at least to this point, who knows? Maybe we'll find out they hired someone phenomenal. But it seems like right now, the two most likely options, I think that Borzello wrote, were McCollum at Drake and Brad Brunell at Clemson. Good, solid hires, but they're not flashy. And I just keep wondering, like, is someone going, hey, man, y'all are spending a lot on football. And are we still the basketball school? Because exactly, you know, right. Whenever Cignetti got his, whenever he got his extension, I guarantee you what he got with it was an expansion of NIL funding.
Yeah, and a guarantee that you're going to have at least X amount of dollars to spend on your roster. And when those dollars are spent on the football roster, that means they are not being spent on the basketball roster.
There's one big
baby. The next thing, too, that's going to be super important is the continued existence in some capacity of your third-party NIL. But what's fascinating is, I know you've seen this, the NCAA is going to try to regulate what is, quote, real third-party NIL, which is not going to go well, but they're going to try to do it.
I think they have to publicly say it, but I think that everyone even knows that will get struck down in a court immediately.
Yeah, and it probably will, but
I mean, you're all right. They're trying.
Continue to be important.
Well, then I did love how like one of their corporate partners was also going to be the one that valued whether or not it was real. It's like, oh, that is not a conflict of interest whatsoever.
Deloitte's going to be the auditing firm or whatever, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, that won't be a problem at all. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk some Tigers. We'll do it next with Jason Smith right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
FM, ESPN. Jason Smith is the host of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Follow him on Twitter on X at JasonSmith929. Jason, on Sunday, Selection Sunday, what seed will the Tigers be?
Oh, I'm going to go ahead and go with a 7. I'd love to be pleasantly surprised. Because I think my expectation is a 7, so that won't be a surprise to me. I'd be shocked if they they finish 8-9, especially after what we read from, I think it was Munns that talked to Lenardi, where he, you know, Lenardi's quote was, if they get to Sunday, they've got a good shot to move up. I'm paraphrasing, but that was pretty much, you know, from the 8 that he has them at currently to 7. And so I think that's what, you know, we've talked about. Cobb would know this well. His colleague over at CBS Sports, Jerry Palm, has had them at a 6 and really, you know, has been one of the few guys that's had them there for a while. And so I think, you know, John and I came into the week saying, you know, John was panicking a lot. Bracket matrix, you take the average. A lot of folks have got Memphis at 8. The average is 8. But I was saying calm down. Maybe what ends up happening is you're splitting the difference. 7 is where you are. I'd be pleasantly surprised to go back to the to where we started if they did get a 6, because I think that's they've got that kind of body of work. If you go ahead and add the AAC title, sure. But if we're to believe they're an 8 now, the idea that you'd make a 2-seed jump, a 2-line jump, probably far-fetched. So I'm banking on 7. Pleasantly surprised with a 6. I think 5 is out of the question just because of the metrics.
Jason, there's got to be, even if in the disaster scenario on Sunday where you end up in the 8-9 matchup.
The disaster is 8-9. They played Sunday. I don't care what the result is. And they're in the noon game on, they're in the 11:15 game on Thursday morning. To me, that's disaster.
So absolute worst case scenario then. Perhaps it's exactly what you just laid out, Jeffrey. Even in that scenario, can the program, can the fan base allow itself a brief moment before the uproar, before the Monday phone lines open, right, to just, like, appreciate the fact that, considering where this thing was in October, the fact that their name was even called on Selection Sunday?
I think so, because I think we've now, most of us that have watched this thing, have convinced ourselves this is if you don't believe it's a different Penny Hardaway, then certainly an improved version of the coach that you've got. You've watched him take P.J. Haggerty, who had numbers at Tulsa, but they were on a loser, become a more efficient player, especially with his shooting, and now, you know, have him at on All-American status. I mean, there. My point is, you can look to whether it's Haggerty on top, Dane Danger, what you're getting out of him, turning him from Illinois role player to dominant AAC, first team AAC, big man. I mean, I think if you are, like you're talking about, that fan base, yeah, that desperately wants, sure, a second weekend appearance, and it feels like with this team maybe you could get it. Yeah, even if you get 8 or 9, you can stop for a minute and say, you know what, this sucks that they keep putting us here, because that's going to be the first feeling. I mean, it'll be the last 3 times you've been in the tournament that you've been in 8-9, and you feel like this was a better year for Penny, that he had earned his way out of it. So there'll be that initial disappointment. But I think what you're saying, Cobb, is important, because maybe in a a little bit different way, there's a little bit more confidence in terms of the fan base, in terms of what you've got from an NIL standpoint. Penny's already talking about how much it's going to be, you know, to retain P.J. Haggerty, but sounding like we're going to be there. We're going to be there fighting for him. And so whether it's how you feel about Penny as a coach, right, a coach of a college program, and what he's told you he's learned now through 7 years, or you know how this thing's positioned to compete, especially in a league where they're, you know, we just saw where the league is putting in the minimum of schools have got to spend $3 million a year. Yeah, that's good, but you figure Memphis is going to be on the top range of that, if not right at the top. And so you should continue to dominate, yeah, what's a sad basketball conference, but it's a good enough position that you can keep your brand strong, continue to build. And I think you, Cobb, to answer your question, you could still feel good about the future, even though you're stuck in what feels like this same spot that the selection committee just wants to peg you in. I think that there would be, though, Cobb, that feeling of, man, what does he have to do? You know, 4th toughest non-conference schedule in the country per KenPom. You can't control anything in terms of your schedule in the AAC, and you went 10-3 against it. Like, you maximized, really, the opportunities that you had. Sure, everybody wants to erase that Arkansas State loss. Boy, would it be good. You wonder where Memphis would be then, but you can't do that. But what you can take away from Memphis is a really impressive body of work and what they could control, that schedule they put together. You'd like to see them get a little bit more credit for it from the selection committee, come Sunday and consider, you know, that's the body of work of a 5, you know, because I really think it is, if not higher. But, you know, when it's all said and done, if you're out of that 8-9, I think we'll all be feeling fine. And if you're in it, there'll be the initial disappointment. But I don't think we have to blow anything up, Cobb, in terms of the phone lines, in terms of, hey, man, wait, you know, is this thing ever going to get over the hump? Because I think you're feeling like Penny Hardaway really did show you something different this year, the best version of him, and you're feeling good about that going forward.
Well, you actually bring up something that I think is interesting.
Good.
Like, let's say I'm wrong, because I think if they get to Sunday, they're getting a 6, and I think if they don't get to Sunday, they're still getting a 7. I think people are over. I think the WOB is going to be a metric that they use heavily, and Memphis
certainly
is.
I hope so.
That's
where they're good.
And again, I could be wrong, but like let's say they're in that 8-9 game, and let's even for kicks and giggles say they make it to Sunday. I think that's kind of the bigger issue is, okay, y'all, we just played a top 5 out of conference schedule. And it's the type of schedule that, like, how many times is it going to work out that you not only were you able to schedule good games, but those teams held up their end of the bargain. We handled business in the league. We went 16-2, and we made the conference championship game. Let's even say for kicks and giggles, they win it. We won everything there is to win, and you're telling us the best that we can do is 8? Like, I do wonder if that motivates people at the University of Memphis of, like, are we... Like, we have to reevaluate this league. Like, I wonder if that would be cause them to pick up the phone and say, like, we got to start making some calls.
I mean, you wonder where you'd be if you listen from a ticket sales standpoint. You can't do this, but what if you just dumbed it down? I mean, you look at what at St. John's. I don't have their non-conference in front of me. They didn't play anybody, and you look at what they, you know, where they are metrically now. They benefit from a much tougher conference. But my point is, hey, what if you just rolled a bunch of cupcakes in the non-con, because the Celeste committee used to say it mattered putting together that tough schedule, right? That's who they cared about. You put together the tough non-conference that we're going to give you the leg up on seeding. Well, if depending upon what happens this year, if that's no longer the case, if the other parts of the metrics, the KenPoms and the Nets are basically going to X out, you know, what Penny Hardaway essentially has done is maxed out his opportunity in non-con, well, then there has to be that look at the schedule too. Yeah, sure, we want to sell tickets, but what's the point here? Because most years we're not going to go 10-3 against a top 5, a schedule that a SWAC team is typically playing, because again, I use the SWAC, those are the other teams ranked around Memphis in terms of that non-con schedule.
And so they're getting paid for those games. That's how they're funding their programs.
Because again, if there's going to be so much focus on metrics, all this Bart Torvik, all this other stuff, and then perhaps, again, the focus has to hedge back more towards, man, we just got to blow teams out. And that goes against what we've sold for years. It goes against, number one, selling tickets, but then number two, what the selection committee told us for years mattered the most. It's who you played. I mean, we hear that in football as well. And so I'm just really curious to see if that's just completely X'd out by the KenPoms and the metric ratings, where Memphis, doesn't shine. But my gosh, back in my day, certainly where you would lean based on your eyeballs, the fact that Memphis won its regular season and conference tournament title for going down that road and went 10-3 against the fourth toughest schedule. I mean, that's a good team that you have to give a high seed to. But again, if you're in 8-9 or even 7 to that point, I think it's typical. You know, you just wonder, you know, again, you know, look at the league that, you know, those years that Cal was coming out of CUSA as a 1 seed. You know, look at where CUSA was ranked then as a conference. Cal was still getting a 1. Now, you'd say, well, Cal was scheduling. He's playing big non-conference games. So did Penny this year. And Cal never made a final of a Maui. You know, Penny's the first Memphis coach to have done that. I mean, this was a team that one of the best Maui fields we've ever seen. And so if you're given benefit of the doubt, you know, you talked about Gonzaga, Cobb did, and how it's intriguing with them, too, because it's flipped. They don't have the big wins. Used to be you give the lean to the teams that have the big wins and schedule the toughest. But for a Memphis, at least in this year, it feels like the Lenardis and the ones that have got you at 8 right now have given you no credit for it. They've given just as much credit, clearly, in terms of emphasis on what they consider to the metrics, which I don't think is right.
It is kind of wild when you sit back this time of year and reflect on the fact that the most cited metrics are people's last names, like Lunardi,
yeah, that's where we are,
Pomeroy,
right.
Yeah,
Miyakawa,
Torvik.
Torvik.
Tell me this, Cobb, you know, I'm with you, years,
Jason, because like you mentioned, like 15 years ago. I mean, come on, we're not citing any of this stuff.
RPI. Using the look at their RPI. Look at their RPI.
I know Jeffrey was RPI. Was it? Was it John or somebody? Somebody's still putting an RPI together. I guess Cobb would know. And in that one, Memphis is high again.
Yeah.
You know, and so now we want. You know, now I'd love for him this year to be the. We'd be going back to RPI, but, you know, for whatever, you know, that's kind of been our plight here. And I know it sounds like sour grapes from a guy who graduated from Memphis, but it's so true. Like, you know, whenever it's, you know, you've sort of fixed it, Penny again has maxed out this non-conference schedule, they're going to find some other criteria to dink you for. Again, you know, if you don't lose to Arkansas State, a team you had no business losing to, especially as you watched them in that Sun Belt Conference tournament, the way they blew that. You know, maybe we're not here having this conversation, but you left it up for debate, as Jeffrey often says, don't do. And in this case, maybe they can sting you. My hope, again, is that you've at least graduated from 8-9.
Jason, we really appreciate it, my man.
You guys take care. Keep up the good work.
That is Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. Let's take one more break. When we come back, we're going to tell your story. Whoo, boy, this one is a doozy, Cobb. We've gotten some explanations from Dallas again. So I want to discuss what they've done. We'll talk about that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, Cobb, we got, I believe it was 48 games scheduled for today. For you, what's been the most noteworthy?
Well, it could be Duke, even though they beat Georgia
Fair
Tech.
Point.
The fact that Cooper Flagg might not play the rest of this week. And you know who Duke's probably going to play tomorrow? It's North Carolina. And North Carolina has got to win that game. So even though Duke won, which was expected today, what happened in that game could far and away be the most impactful thing that happens all day.
Yeah, I believe he said post-game, long shot. I would imagine, if you're John Shire, right, you're just sitting him.
Absolutely.
What's the point?
You sit him. There's no point whatsoever. You know how quickly you can retweak an ankle injury. I mean, this guy's literally your entire team. I've said it all year long.
Well, I mean,
they're
going to be a one no matter what, right?
You would think, surely, right? So, in all likelihood. And honestly, I'd rather be a two with a 100% healthy Cooper Flagg than be a one when you made him play three more games on a bad ankle, right? So, I've said it all year long. The difference to me in the race for National Player of the Year is that Auburn is still elite, even without Jahni Broome.
Yeah, that's a fair
point.
Duke
is good without Cooper Flagg, but they are not elite. Cooper Flagg is just that important to who they are. So, yeah, they've got to rest him tomorrow, I'd say.
We also got the news. Wichita State knocks off South Florida today. So the Tigers tomorrow will take on Wichita State. Honestly, Cobb, like, I don't know how to feel one way or the other. I just kind of thought, all right, you'd rather play Wichita State because that's a chance to avenge one of your losses.
100%, yeah. I think that gets you a little bit of motivation, right? Like, you're seeking motivation when you're playing your 19th straight game against an AAC foe. Like, you got to find a way to motivate yourself somehow. So the fact that they beat you, I think, hopefully provides that. And, hey, now we get the Rick Stansberry to South Florida rumors. So, I mean, it's a win-win. You know, that could happen. What? That could happen right now. Their season's over.
Their season is indeed over. All right, Cobb, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. We got to get a new Mavs owner, Patrick Dumont. He says that the Luka trade was made to help Dallas improve for the future. Quote, you have Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, PJ Washington, Anthony Davis, and either Daniel Gafford or Derek Lively. That's going to put fear into a lot of teams. Why?
Jeffrey.
How do they not have, like, we're weeks into this. How do they not have a better canned statement than this?
They just need to stop talking. I mean, maybe if it were 2009, I'd be, or 2019, I'd be afraid of Kyrie Irving and
you
Anthony Davis.
You just traded the 25-year-old.
Insanity.
For the future? Like, holy cow. All right, my man. Good luck to you the rest of the way. We'll figure out next week. Obviously, Cobb won't be with us on Thursday next week because we got the tournament. So we're working on getting the schedule moved. But good luck the rest of the way tonight in Nashville.
All right, brother. I appreciate it.
That is David Cobb. If you missed anything, it's going to be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Eric, for Jason, for George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.